Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to hear the story of a United States senator. You are going behind the scenes of political Washington, into the Senate chambers, the cloakrooms, the private offices, the meetings, secret and public. The locale, the background, are factual. Only the names and the stories are fictional. This is Freedom, USA. Starring Tyrone Power as the Senator of the United States and featuring the voice of America's distinguished news commentator and Washington authority, Edwin C. Hill. Freedom, USA, the story of your government today. In a moment, listen to Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA. Now, we present Freedom, USA, starring Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards and featuring the voice of Edwin C. Hill.
This is Edwin C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen, speaking to you from the huge arc-shaped terminal building at Washington National Airport. Here, day and night, giant airliners deliver the great and near-great makers of modern history to our nation's capital. There's a headline in every passenger list, and the news-hungry reporters know it. Today, for example, newsmen covered the return of the special emissary who reported on his mission to Europe. A Balkan prince was greeted by the President of the United States. A beauty contest winner kissed a political candidate for the photographers. But the hidden story, the secret headlines, concerned the portly businessman who disembarked from an afternoon plane practically unnoticed. His name, R.J. Carey, Vice President of Star Airlines. His mission?
Business. Just routine business. Excuse me.
Government business, Mr. Carey?
Well, yes and no. Pardon me, blasted plane was a half hour late. My own airline, too.
Seeing anyone important in Washington, Mr. Carey?
Yes, of course. My senator, Senator Edwards. Excuse me, please. I'm late. Hate to keep a senator waiting.
Now, here we are. Sit down, Mr. Carey.
Thank you, Senator Edwards. Thank you. Think of it. 30 minutes late. My own airline.
And stop apologizing.
It's embarrassing.
Heads will roll, huh?
You can depend on them.
Well, what can I do for you, sir?
Well, sir, Senator, I outlined the situation for you in my letter, if you recall.
I got it here someplace. Here we are. Star Airlines intends to purchase 32 transport planes from foreign powers.
Strong ally of the United States, as you can see.
Well, these aren't new planes, are they?
No, they were declared surplus recently. My firm has made a most attractive offer, price-wise.
So I see. Well, it looks to me like a standard sort of business transaction, Mr. Carey.
Oh, it is, it is. But you know how it is, Senator, dealing with foreign governments, confusion, red tape, delays.
Oh, you want me to cut the red tape, is that it?
That's it in a nutshell.
I see.
After all, everyone benefits from the deal, Senator. That nation needs American dollars badly. Star Airlines needs the planes. And since our airline operates so widely in your state,
I'm afraid I can't help, Mr. Carey.
Can't help?
Sorry, can't do it.
But I came all the way to Washington.
I know. But this is a private business deal, and I hold a public office. That can be an explosive mixture to a senator.
But certainly you can help me cut a few corners. After all, the planes will have to be flown here all the way from Africa.
Africa?
Why, yes, I...
They're based in Africa now?
Yes, in that free city on the north coast.
But your letter didn't say anything about that.
Yes, I forgot to mention it. They're on a small airfield just outside the town.
And the government that owns these planes, they're willing to accept your price?
Naturally, they need American dollars.
Now, pardon me a moment.
Yes, sir?
Ginger, call Benson at the State Department, will you please?
State Department?
I want to talk to him right away.
All right, Senator.
What's this about the State Department? You said yourself that this is just a private business deal.
It should be, Mr. Carey. But if you buy those planes for Star Airlines, you may be buying an international crisis for the United States.
Now, see here, Senator, I've spent all afternoon in this office of yours.
I wish you'd stop pacing back and forth like Mickey Mouse, Mr. Carey.
All afternoon, waiting for this State Department fellow to...
I'm sorry, but under the circumstances, it's the
only... What circumstances? I don't want the State Department to complicate a simple, clean-cut business arrangement.
Pardon me, Senator.
Oh, come in, Ginger.
Mr. Benson just phoned again.
Yeah, about time.
He's followed through on Mr. Carey's problem.
No problem till I came here.
Oh, were you speaking to me, Mr. Carey?
Hmm? Oh, no, no.
What did Benson have to say, Ginger?
He's referred the matter to your subcommittee, Senator.
The one studying the new foreign trade bill?
Yes, sir.
Good. I'll be able to...
Oh, this is ridiculous. I asked you to cut the red tape, not manufacture it. A simple business deal with a friendly foreign government.
Did Benson say anything else, Ginger?
Yes, sir. He's arranged for a member of the embassy of that friendly foreign government to testify before the subcommittee.
Fine. See that Senator Lawton calendars it for tomorrow, will you?
Yes, sir.
Embassy, State Department, hocus pocus, nothing but hocus pocus.
It's the State Department's job, Mr. Carey, to protect your firm.
We don't need protection. We need...
Protection.
Oh.
Listen, Carey. You're buying 32 surplus planes, but you may get a shipment of spilled blood as a bonus unless...
Preposterous. The clean-cut business arrangement between my airline and a friendly nation.
That friendly nation, Carey, may be selling you planes that belong to an unfriendly nation.
What's that?
You heard me. We'll know just how clean-cut the deal really is after the subcommittee meets tomorrow.
Senator Edwards, you may continue with the questioning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would...
Gentlemen, if you please. Our witness is a guest of this subcommittee. He represents one of our closest allies. Secretary Wickett's comments will provide valuable background for our study of the new foreign trade bill. A little more courtesy, please. All right, Senator.
Secretary Wickett, we'd like to ask a few questions about the African-based planes your government intends to sell to Star Airlines.
Fire away, Senator. I'll be happy to dispel any doubts clouding the matter.
These planes, Mr. Secretary, were they manufactured by your government?
Oh, no, no. We acquired them some time ago. Part of a trade agreement with one of our less friendly neighbors.
Wouldn't you say your least friendly neighbor?
Yes. Yes, I suppose I would, all right. Our governments were friendlier then, of course. They gave us planes and we gave them ships.
This was before your government severed relations with that nation.
Oh, indeed, yes. Incidentally, when are you chaps going to cross them off your list?
For the time being, sir, the United States recognizes that government in spite of all its faults. That's why we're so concerned about the sale of those planes, Mr. Secretary. Star Airlines, being an American company, would...
Oh, there's no dispute about the ownership, Senator. None at all.
The other nation has no claim to them.
None whatsoever. Those airplanes were ours a long time before the bitterness became official.
Now, that's what we wanted to know, sir.
Yes, indeed. The planes are ours to fly, to destroy, or to sell to American companies.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. That's all, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Ginger. Any calls?
Thousands, and everyone was named R.J. Carey.
Well, maybe you'd better phone him at his hotel.
Will you talk to him? We've grown to hate each other.
Hate each other? I should think you two would be fast friends by now.
Mr. Carey is not blessed with an overdose of patience, you know.
I know.
And his blessings diminished with every phone call.
Well, he'll be your lifelong chum when you give him the good news.
Oh? Everything copacetic in Africa?
As far as those 32 planes are concerned, yes. Carey may hate me for delaying his deal this long, but now that the committee's cleared the way, I feel a lot better about it.
So will Mr. Carey.
I hope so. You know, I have a hunch he's convinced that all the government wants to do is complicate simple business matters.
Too many people think that.
This government can't prevent complications, Ginger. It's a big, complex machine. It's concerned with the welfare of too many people, too many obscure problems, to come up with quick, black-and-white answers to every question.
Senator... You gave that speech before the Woman's Club in Baltimore last week.
You see, everything's complicated.
Right. Now, what shall I tell Mr. Carey?
A simple black-and-white statement. Tell him that those 32 planes are free and clear. He can go right ahead and close the deal.
Paging, Senator?
Oh, right here, Page. Here I am.
Message for you, Senator. From Mr. Benson in the State Department Intelligence Office.
Oh?
You weren't in the chamber and you weren't in your office. And your secretary, she thought you might be in the restaurant, but you weren't.
Okay, okay.
So I figured you'd be here in the cloakroom.
Uh-huh. What's the message?
And sure enough, you were.
Yes, yes, yes. Now the message.
Mr. Benson says to see him right away at his office. It's very urgent, he says.
Hope you have a suitcase handy, Dean.
Why, Benson? Did I lose an election?
Africa calls.
Hmm?
Africa. Free city. The State Department needs a special emissary, and you have everyone's endorsement.
What? Me?
The Senate committee okayed it. So did the Secretary of State and the director of this office. I cleared the way for the appointment. You're more familiar with the problem than anyone else.
What problem, Benson?
The problem of getting those 32 transport planes from Africa to America.
Uh-uh. You're talking to a very landlocked senator. Both feet planted firmly on the ground.
Dean, Star Airlines has bought those planes. They're American property now. It's our job to see that they reach here unharmed.
Well, a few competent pilots... Oh. Who's going to harm them?
Here's the report. If those planes are flown past the borders of the Free City, we've been informed they'll be blasted out of the sky by fighter planes based in that area.
Whose fighter planes?
Evidently, Secretary Wickett was wrong. His unfriendly neighbor does have a claim to those transports.
But the trade was affected long before any...
Oh, sure, sure. Ever try to reason with fighter planes in midair?
Look, Benson, they wouldn't dare shoot down a fleet of unarmed American transports.
They insist that the planes are not American. They say all trade agreements with Wickett's government were canceled when relations were ended.
That's just plain stupid.
We can't let those transports leave the ground until the air is cleared. Better start packing, Dean. You have a lot of air to clear.
Back to Tyrone Power, starring as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA, and the second act of our story.
This is Edmund C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Washington, D.C., seen from the air, is like a giant wheel. Its hub is the Capitol Building. Its spokes are the avenues that lead from the giant dome center of our government to every corner of the globe. Right now, Senator Dean Edwards travels the airborne avenue from Capitol Hill to a free city in Africa to meet with the United States Consul there.
You're Senator Edwards, aren't you?
That's right.
I'm Perry, U.S. Consul here.
Oh, of course. Very happy to meet you, Mr. Perry.
Not very happy circumstances, though. Come on, the car's just off the strip there. Ready to go right to work, Senator?
The sooner the better.
I've been working with the consuls of our two problem nations.
Fine.
They're each sending a representative to our consulate tonight.
The good guys and the bad guys, huh?
Yeah. With the USA right square in the middle. There you are, Senator. This balcony gives you an idea of what a free city looks like.
Just how free is this free city, Perry?
Strange sort of freedom. All sorts of people here, from Europe, Asia, Near East, Middle East, deep Africa. The people get along fine, but their governments come here for the express purpose of hating each other.
Free city. Hate without consequences, eh?
Something like that. Rival governments can sit around a table here and insult each other. They say things here they wouldn't dare say across the border.
Guess we'll get a sample of that in a few minutes.
What's your approach, Senator? How can you mediate a mess like this?
Well, look. Two nations traded together. One got planes, the other got ships. Then they had a disagreement. Now, one nation says to the other, "We don't like you, so the planes we gave you aren't yours anymore. If you sell them to anyone else, we'll shoot them down." That make sense?
No, but that country's been getting away with lopsided logic like that.
They're just about to discover they can't get away with it. Who's representing him tonight?
A man named Tabor, Anton Tabor, aide to the foreign minister.
Well, sounds like one side of the issue has arrived.
Right on time, too. I'll see who it is. Might have known it's not Tabor. He's never on time.
Well, we've got half our cast. Now, if Tabor would show up, we could get this drama going.
And true to form, he's late. Probably planning a dramatic entrance.
Say, Perry, we can't leave that man sitting in the council room alone. It's been almost an hour.
Protocol, Senator. Mediator doesn't mediate until both parties are present.
Tabor's overdoing that dramatic entrance. Not going to hold the curtain for him much longer.
I just called over to their consulate. Got the polite runaround. As far as they know, Tabor was informed of the meeting. The usual line.
Didn't say if he'd left or didn't leave or anything?
Not a word. Couldn't get anything out of them.
How late is it?
Too late. Listen.
And then there were none. Now we've lost the other representative.
Can't blame him. He's waited long enough.
At least he proved his faith by coming here. Tabor's non-appearance is a downright insult.
He's made a career of it. What can you do with people like that?
Come on.
Huh? Where?
Let's get the file in order. I want all the papers on this issue. Copies of the trade agreements, affidavits, everything.
It's awfully late, Senator. What are you...
Mr. Tabor missed his cue for an entrance, Perry. I don't intend to miss mine.
A late hour for business, Senator. If you will forgive me.
Sorry, Tabor. I flew a lot of miles to get this issue settled.
So it is settled.
Is it?
My government has stated its attitude. You take the planes up, we shoot them down.
The United States will consider that a direct act of aggression. Is your government prepared for that?
Oh, please, Senator, our consulate does not conduct business at this hour.
All right. Let's go to the American consulate.
My government has stated its attitude.
You haven't answered my question. Is your government prepared to meet the consequences of a direct act of aggression against the United States?
It is no aggression. The planes are ours.
An American airline bought those planes, Tabor.
Yes, but from the wrong nation.
Here, look at these. Note the dates on them. A copy of your trade agreement. Photostats of the notes exchanged by your government and...
Papers mean nothing. Our new leaders have voided all previous trade agreements. Our new leaders have reclaimed the aircraft in question. Our new leader...
Is it lack of sleep that makes you so miserably unreasonable? You make more sense in the morning after a shave and a hearty breakfast?
My government has stated its attitude.
Yeah, I know. We take the planes up, you shoot them down. A direct act of aggression. Remember that.
It is no aggression. The planes are ours.
And I can't convince you that those planes belong to an American company?
They were purchased from the wrong nation.
We bought them from the nation you gave them to. An American airline consummated the deal in good faith, Tabor. In good faith. Those are American planes, and they're going back to America unharmed. Do you understand that, Tabor? Do you understand that?
My government has stated its attitude. You take the planes up, we shoot them down.
Perry? Perry, where are you?
All right, Senator, all right.
Perry, I want to send a cable to the United States.
Now?
Now, right now.
Oh, it's pretty late, Senator.
Anyone else tells me how late it is,
All right, Senator, all right. Where's the cable going?
To R.J. Carey, Vice President of Star Airlines.
Oh?
Tell him to arrange to have his 32 transport planes flown back to America immediately.
You mean you convinced Tabor?
No. Convincing Tabor is like trying to teach an echo to change his mind.
Now, wait a minute. If his fighters are going to intercept those transports...
Perry, send the cable, please.
Senator,
send the cable, Perry. They won't dare to shoot at those planes.
Did Tabor tell you that?
No. But those phonies won't dare commit an aggressive act against the United States.
Don't be too sure, Senator. As long as they feel they have some claim to those planes, as long as they can say we considered them ours, as long as they have that kind of loophole, Senator...
The loophole's been plugged up.
With what?
With me.
What?
If their fighters attack planes carrying an American official, that's an act of aggression, isn't it?
Well, sure.
Okay. But... I'm flying back to America in one of those planes.
Senator Edwards, you're taking a terrible chance. I wish you'd think it over.
Too late now, Perry. All the planes are ready to go.
But if those fighter planes...
Don't worry. You let Tabor know I'm flying back in one of the transports, didn't you?
I let our whole consulate know. I sent letters, wires. I even phoned Tabor personally and recorded the conversation.
Good. That ought to do it. There goes number one. And number two.
Listen... What's to prevent them from attacking all the planes but the one carrying you?
They won't know which of the 32 planes I'm riding in.
You sure of that?
No, but I hope it's so.
All set, Senator Edwards?
All set.
Let's go. I gotta get our plane up on the line.
Good luck, Senator.
What'd you say, Perry?
I said good luck.
I can't hear you.
Come on, Senator. Let's go.
Just crossed the border, Senator.
Out of Free City now, huh?
Yep. Those fighter bases aren't far from here.
How far?
Well, just a few minutes. Stand by. Look down there.
Where?
Over to your right. Those are the airstrips for the fighters.
Seem pretty quiet, don't they?
Yeah.
Too quiet?
Yeah, too quiet. Senator.
Huh? What?
Oh, they're coming out of the sun. Look.
Oh, fine. How many are there?
What's the difference? One fighter, 32 unarmed transports. We're like sitting ducks. Wow, that was cozy.
There's a whole flock of them over there.
Yeah, I see them.
Well, when do they stop playing tag and start shooting?
We're not waiting to find out.
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
I'm turning back.
Don't be foolish. You can't.
Can't I? Listen, Senator, I went through one war. I don't feel like figuring in the start of another one. You better sit down. This will be bumpy.
But these fighters won't shoot. This is just a bluff.
This bluff I'm not calling. Sit down now.
Listen, if you turn around now, they'll know I'm in this plane. They'll know which plane not to shoot at.
What?
As long as they don't know which plane I'm in, they won't dare shoot.
Well, I don't know. They
might... If you turn around, they'll know. They'll know they can knock off all the other planes without harming me.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right.
31 other transports out there. 31 of them.
Okay, Senator, you win. But if they start shooting...
Look.
They turning back?
Sure. See, over there.
Well, what do you know? And not a shot fired.
Just between us. I'll never complain about the heat in Washington again.
Senator Edwards?
Yes, Mr. Chairman?
On behalf of this subcommittee, I'd like to thank you for your report on your mission to Africa. The information you've turned over to us will be of unlimited aid in our evaluation of any bills concerning foreign trade and foreign affairs. Thanks again.
And Mr. Chairman?
Senator Edwards?
I'd like to put a personal observation on record, if I may.
Go right ahead, sir.
Calling the bluff of a belligerent nation can be worthwhile, but it's always dangerous. The best way to minimize that danger is to be strong and humble. Humble enough to keep our strength from being a threat to others, but strong enough to turn back any threat to our own prestige and security. My trip taught me something I consider pretty important. I learned that the meek may inherit the earth, but these days the strong must help them protect their property.
Edmund C. Hill again, ladies and gentlemen. By now, Senator Edwards' report has become part of the Washington story, part of the saga of democracy at work. Other nations may shake their fists under our nose, but as long as the United States remains strong and unafraid, they'll never toss a punch. Strength breeds and protects freedom. Strength plus humility is our kind of freedom. Freedom USA.
Our star, Tyrone Power, will return in just a moment.
This is Tyrone Power, friends. It's interesting to note, I think, that the word liberty saw relatively little use throughout the world until America made it popular. Just another reason why I like this nation of ours. We've demonstrated to the world the true meaning of these lines. What light is to the eyes, what air is to the lungs, what love is to the heart, liberty is to the soul of man.
Week, may we invite you to again visit our national capital for another absorbing episode of Freedom USA, starring Tyrone Power. In the interest of good government, we urge you to listen to these important stories from Washington, D.C. Freedom USA.